Across the country, politicians are spending millions on splashy ad campaigns, not just TV time, but there's radio, the internet, maybe even a billboard or two. Don't forget the focus groups. When graduate student Patty Brown picked a project for her class in political advertising, she bypassed all those big-ticket items and went for something far simpler and more enduring. The bumper sticker. Her work measuring the effectiveness of the political bumper sticker has attracted national attention. She joins us now from her home in Des Moines, Iowa. Patty Brown, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Good afternoon.
And of course, we want to hear from listeners as well, especially if you're stuck behind a politically festooned vehicle. Do you have a favorite political bumper sticker? Do you prefer not to wear your politics on your Chevy? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And Patty Brown, tell us about your research. How do you conduct research on bumper stickers?
Well, at this point, we haven't really done empirical research from a quantitative point of view, but we've done a lot of qualitative study on the history of the bumper sticker and its use. But I think we're really interested in taking the project to the next level with a quantitative look at the use of the bumper sticker.
Well, on the qualitative side, what have you learned?
Well, I think the bumper sticker is definitely an important tool of political communication. I think it may play a larger role on the part of the individual putting the bumper sticker on his or her car, in that the bumper sticker is a sign of political engagement in the whole process. I don't know that the political bumper sticker on the back end of your car is necessarily going to sway other voters,
but it should,
for the candidate you're supporting.
But the glue on the back of the bumper sticker is a metaphor for the glue that's going to then stick you to that candidate.
That's a good way of putting it. I think the more contemporary, modern bumper sticker today that's made of vinyl is a little more removable than the bumper sticker of yore, which used to have some kind of glue that would, you know, last throughout the millenniums. But, it's going to be with your car for a while.
And how do you present your project? I mean, how do you convince people that this is an important area of study?
Well, I think here in Iowa, we have a lot of people who are very politically engaged because of our Iowa caucus process. And I think that's what really got me interested in looking at the bumper sticker. Last fall, as our semester started, we were at the height of political frenzy here, as all of the candidates that were on both sides of the ticket were here, you know, stumping. And you had a lot of activity going on and seeing more and more bumper stickers showing up on cars. And I was really curious, how important is that bumper sticker in a campaign? Does it make a difference? I think what it does is it helps to concretize the opinion of the person who might be supporting the candidate. It firms up their opinion in a public way, shows that they're an early decider, and that may help to influence others who know them well and see them as an opinion leader. But at this point, I think it would be a little hard to actually measure empirically what the actual dollar value of a bumper sticker is, or how many voters sign on to support of a candidate because of seeing bumper stickers.
Here's an email we have from Barbara in Buxton, North Carolina. The main thing they seem to accomplish, she writes, is to identify a neighbor as a heretofore unrecognized political enemy.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Or, so I don't know that just because someone differs with you politically that they have to be your enemy. It's so sad that we see it that way. I think that there's always room for discourse with people of opposite opinions. I don't think it would be healthy if we all looked at everything the exact same way.
The history of the bumper sticker, how far back does it go? Is there a vote Woodrow?
Well, you actually have to have bumpers.
Yes, I was trying to think of that.
And so the first real automobiles that had bumpers were Henry Ford's second real popular car, not the Model
T.
The Model T came before the Model A.
Correct.
I don't understand his alphabet system there, but I believe it was the Model A that had the bumper on it. And so you didn't really have something that you could put on a bumper until you had a bumper. And that was until the end of the 1920s. But you had various versions of signs that could be attached to cars because they were seen as, you know, a roving mobile billboard of sorts.
Sure. And if they come up in the 1920s, presumably Franklin Roosevelt used them to some effect?
No, not necessarily. At that point, more predominantly, people were using stickers, but not necessarily a bumper sticker. They were more stickers that you could put in a window of a car or on the window of maybe your business. You know, you could stick a window on the door of your business if someone would walk through the door. Or you could take that same sticker and maybe attach it to the inside of your window in your automobile. The bumper sticker idea didn't really evolve until right after World War II. You had a convergence of some technologies. You had a certain kind of sticky-backed paper that became available as a post-war effort product, and you also had fluorescing inks. And the sticky-backed paper was dark. It had been developed for military use, and fluorescing inks were... They popped. They worked on that kind of dark background. And there was a printer in Kansas City, Forrest Gill, who had been a silkscreen printer and had made silkscreen printing on canvas goods. And he knew that, well, if you could put a canvas cover on a tire on an old-fashioned car and print advertising on it, you could also take these new pieces of sticky-backed paper and print something on him. He went out to his automobile, measured his own car with his ruler, and came in and figured out how many big pieces of paper he could cut out of this larger sheet, and the original bumper sticker was born.
And what did it say?
You know what? I've talked with his son-in-law, who is the chairman of the board of the company that still exists today. They don't have any of the original samples of the first bumper stickers. It's presumed that the very first ones that he created were not for political use. They were advertising use, and because, you know, cars were very big post-World War II, you had big bumpers, so you could have a big bumper sticker. And all of a sudden, gas was not rationed, and tires were not rationed, and people wanted to go on vacation. They hadn't been during the war years. So people started traveling to destinations, and the first bumper stickers were probably for amusement destination places, you know, like things that you would go to in Florida.
It's already wall drug. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
It's kind of like the wall drug idea. Absolutely.
We're talking with Patty Brown, a graduate student who's studying political bumper stickers. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And Frederick joins us. Frederick with us from St. Helena in California.
That's right. Good morning. Well, good morning our time. I'm driving a rent-a-car, and actually I've wondered where I could find a peace symbol to put on my rent-a-car. But my question is this. I live in an area, and I'm actually a snowbird here in California, and I live in New England where there are many bumper stickers on cars in a relatively liberal part of America, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see very few conservative bumper stickers back in New England. And I'm wondering if your guest, have you found, Patty, that wondered why, and have you answered why there are not as many conservative stickers and people that are more conservative wearing bumper stickers?
Or is this a regional difference, and in more conservative parts of the country are liberal bumper stickers hard to find? Anyway, your response, Patty?
Well, I think there's a couple things at foot there. There's a concept called the spiral of silence, which means that if you might hold a minority opinion, you might be more reserved about expressing that opinion if you feel that others around you are going to, you know, distance you for your opinion. And so rather than to maybe risk getting your car keyed in a parking lot in a more liberal area or something, maybe a conservative person just does not want to risk that kind of public, you know, display of their own political opinion.
So they might want to also resell that puppy someday. So.
You might want to do that. I think that there could be a regional difference, too. I think taking a look at regionally, if you counted cars with bumper stickers in parking lots in different, you know, mall shopping centers regionally on a particular day of the year might be an interesting thing to figure out where do the most cars with bumper stickers seem to show up. I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of research money out there to conduct that study, but I would bet that there's somewhat of a regional difference.
Thanks for the call, Frederick.
Thank you.
And have a good time on the slopes. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Gigi. Gigi's with us from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hi, Hey.
Hi there.
Why do I have to be inconvenienced by looking at your opinion simply because I'm stuck behind you in traffic?
Because of my First Amendment right to express that opinion. And that's the only reason I think, you know, that's one of the wonderful things about the bumper sticker in our country. You have the opportunity to have freedom of expression in the public square. And at the same time, you're blending a couple of really powerful, iconic symbols. You know, you've got the American car, which has, you know, for good or bad, it has a lot of symbolism of power and prestige. And then you're also blending politics. So it's politics, all of the things that go into the American sex symbol of the car, and freedom of speech. I mean, that's pretty powerful.
Gigi?
I have a powerful car. It's a BMW, and I try to keep it as, you know, conservative as possible. I don't want anything mucking it up. And I just think bumper stickers are tacky.
I think that there has been a very limited amount of research done on bumper stickers, but one of the things that has been shown is the higher price the car, the less likely a car owner will place a bumper sticker on it. And so then you can say, well, do more conservative people who might not maybe have as many bumper stickers on their car drive higher priced cars? Or do, you know, there's a lot of questions, hypotheses that I think could be studied here as to who puts bumper stickers on their car. What's the socioeconomic level of that particular group? What's the price point range or the age of the car? And what's the political affiliation? So there's a lot of different things that can be studied in depth here.
Gigi, thanks.
My favorite show of The Simpsons was when they stuck an undecided sign in their yard. I would put that bumper sticker on if I could get an undecided sign.
Gigi, happy motoring. Thanks very much for the call. You're talking right now with Patty Brown, who's doing her graduate studies on bumper stickers. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And as I listen to you, Patty, you're clearly very involved in cars.
I'm currently very involved as a journalist, I think, in the pursuit of being a master's student. And I think I'm really fascinated about all aspects of journalism, free speech, and also I'm at a research institution. So I kind of have really begun thinking about things more from that empirical mindset all the time.
Yeah, but I understand you're also working on an art project involving cars.
Well, what I did was I needed a way to display these bumper stickers for my class project that I did for last semester, and I didn't really think people wanted to watch yet another PowerPoint presentation in school, and it goes get a little tiring after a while. And I certainly didn't want to use a poster in graduate school. So I thought, well, what's the best way to display these bumper stickers that I've amassed? So I came up with the idea of a sculpture, and I went and got a free bumper. I went to a salvage yard, and they gave me a free bumper. They said, oh, we're always willing to help an Iowa State student. And they were so nice. And then I got home with it, and my son said, but Mom, you really need another bumper because you got to have this as bumper to bumper. So I went to another salvage yard, and lo and behold, I came home with a second bumper. And then I took the two bumpers over to a blacksmith in West Des Moines, Iowa, who put together this stand that the two bumpers, he welded them together and figured out how to mount them. And it became the perfect vehicle, truly, to display a historical representation of bumper stickers, as well as the kind of stickers you would put in windows.
Mm.
The earliest stickers that I have on the car are from Calvin Coolidge and from Wendell Wookie.
And do the Coolidge ones say, keep cool with Coolidge?
Pardon? Oh, yes, keep cool with Coolidge, absolutely.
Because we've heard about, you know, anybody study poetry, say, oh, haiku, that's tough. Bumper sticker, that's hard.
No, but the Keep Cool with Coolidge was very famous, absolutely.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Tanya. Tanya with us from Albany in Oregon.
Hi.
Hi there.
I had a John Kerry sticker and an anti-war sticker on my car, and my husband and I had a big disagreement about it, and I had to take it off because he felt that that made me a target. And he didn't care so much about me driving, but with our children in the car, he did not want that on my car.
Really? He thought he made it the children unsafe?
Yes, because some crazy conservative might come after me.
Wow.
I can relate to that story in that I had a bumper sticker on my car that someone decided that they needed to remove because they didn't like the opinion that it expressed. And I thought that was kind of curious. At a university setting, it was on, you know, parked on a university parking lot, that someone felt that, you know, that the opposite opinion from what they thought wasn't valuable to express.
Or valid, that, you know, you can't even have it on your bumper sticker.
Exactly.
Tanya, what are you doing this election?
Well, I have my Hillary sticker, but I haven't gotten up the gumption to put it on my car because I haven't decided I want to have a big fight about it.
Does your husband drive the car?
Occasionally,
but he's got his own car.
I'm the one who drives the kids mostly.
I see. All right. Well, I hope you get this worked out.
Well, thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
And before we leave you, Patty Brown, we mentioned Keep Cool with Coolidge. Other than that, what's your favorite bumper sticker that you've seen thus far?
You know, I've got quite a collection. I like some of the more curious shaped ones, and I've got a Crazy Daisy one from Jean McCarthy's campaign, and that's just iconic to that era, very emblematic of the whole peace generation. I've got a great one that is a big Texas hat that says, you know, all the way with LBJ, and it's a big yellow Texas hat. I think that the they're not necessarily more effective as a political tool or as an advertising tool, but they're certainly interesting as a design element. I think right now Obama's emblem of the horizon and the O is extremely striking and is a very beautiful example of good design. Most bumper stickers are kind of boring. They usually follow into the red, white, and blue categories. Sometimes you'll see a little bit of yellow on them. Jimmy Carter's were interesting. He was green before any of us knew what being green meant, because I've got one that says Gimme Jimmy, and it's all green and white. Very unusual colors for a presidential bumper sticker.
Patty Brown, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Patty Brown with us. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.